right.
Yeah.
I don't know whether... I can't think of anything right off quick that would be of great interest in the way of destruction, but in Connecticut, I believe they have had these ice storms, which requires telephone workers to come in from other states to assist.
Oh, yes, this winter, yes.
Yeah,
Pennsylvania, I know, had that same, yes.
Right.
It really, well, now, we were lucky this winter. We didn't have any of that.
Not bad at all.
What's the greatest snowfall that we've ever had in the winter?
I don't know if I can answer that right off. I've seen 15, 18, and 20 inches, I guess, all right, but not much more than that. And I might mention the fact in regard to temperatures, they speak about it getting down in the 30s and 40s. No, it does not very often, very few times in the 30s, very few times in the winters. But it does get down 28, 29 in that area, but not much lower than that.
Only below, you mean?
That's right,
yes,
below zero.
Yes, yes.
But not too often.
Of course, you don't ever really have a bad snowstorm if it's down at 20, 28 below, do you? It's usually,
no.
You never do it.
Your blizzards are, of course, when you have a low temperature and high wind.
But you don't have them much below zero, do you, usually?
No.
It doesn't.
No. No, they come, I have seen it around three above zero in 19 and 20, I have to be a little careful here, 1919, we had one blizzard that always stands out in my mind. There was no mail delivered for 3 days, no trains in at the B&A for, I think, 48 hours. They delivered on snowshoes and went to work on snowshoes and so forth. I'm speaking of Houghton.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was about the most severe one that I've ever seen. And the temperature was down low and high wind and a heavy fall of snow. And it was also little ice pellets in it, which made it worse. And I always remember that the St. John Chamber of Commerce was coming to Houghton and were at the CPR station to attend. They were going to the Watson Hall here to attend some sort of a meeting and banquet. They never got out of the train at the CP station. Charlie McCluskey had to deliver coffee and things by taking a team and getting up there to keep them warm.
Imagine.
Yeah, that was 1919, I think.
Yes.
Right.
Of course, then everyone was traveling with horse and
teams.
Yes.
Trains were all operating, of course.
But just on the fine, we had so much more real farm community then. The problem of trying to feed animals just to get out to a barn and all to take care of your stock must have been something.
That's right.
Yes.
Especially some of them have to carry water quite a distance to their cattle.
Yes.
They have a number of cattle that has meant quite a bit.
I know Rowley's mother used to tell about, she lived in Hamity, and she said that there was one winter, I don't know when it was, that they came to town one day, and when they were going home, as they were going down that road, they had to stop in front of each little plowed place and peek to see if it were their house. The snow banks were so high that in the horse and team they couldn't see in to see when they got to the house. But now, of course, we remove so much snow as it falls that you never can get that big pile up again, can you?
You see, very often people think that in regard to transportation and getting around up here in Maine in the wintertime, they have the equipment and they have the ability and the know-how of handling the snow, which they do not have in some of the other lower states.
Yes.
So that when a storm comes, they're out into it and they're taking care of it right away.
Yes.
And in that way, we're not tied up very much now. We can go most any time, although it isn't recommended.
You are not.
No, that's right.
Of course, as they say in the city of Boston, seven snowflakes and the city is tied up. Of course, very few places outside of northern New England, I suppose New York State does, but places don't have sidewalk plows.
Oh, that's right.
Visitors who are here in the winter are so surprised to see a sidewalk plow.
Yes. That's very true. There's been some quite changes that way.
Oh, yes, but we do clear it up. There's no question that know how to get rid of it. And of course, the new snow tire, the studded tire, all those things help us get around.
That's true.
Yeah,
very true.
I wonder now when, of course, I suppose there's a very good reason for this, but this extension of 95 up this end, so from Benedicta into Holton, it is such a perilous place to drive in any kind of snow or any kind of weather. You would wonder why a route maybe that would have been a few miles one way or the other that might have been a little more protected couldn't have been selected, that the weather people wouldn't have been consulted.
We do wonder about that sometimes, but I suppose they know more about it than we do.
Well, I suppose dollars and cents, for one thing.
Yes, there's a lot of things in the picture there.
Yes.
But it is a long stretch, and
that's a poor stretch in the winter.
That's
terrible.
Right. Now, it is patrolled, we realize that.
Oh, yes.
Every so often, but it could be a couple of 3 hours before the patrol would come along, and it is possible that one might be in difficulty in certain storms or weather.
Well, it's just a greasy road. If there's any snow blowing or any...
Yes.
I've wondered several times, because, as I say, it's probably dollars and cents. It was cheaper to come straight away through than to...
I might mention that the engineers took my figures on that 95 tool relative to drainage specification,
yes,
and that all entered into that picture. They made me a map, by the way, and when I left the store and sold it out, it became lost in the shuffle, and I hadn't got it now, but they made me a good one in regard to the precipitation different years. It was really a graph.
Yes.
A large one, too. It was a nice one.
And that was lost.
Yes. I don't know what they called it, but it was in the shift. Shifting around.
Well, and we hope if somebody took it, it was someone who was very interested in weather in general. I notice on this little form that you had an award. They gave you what did they call you here? Mr. Cummings' long and outstanding contribution to the climatology of Holton and of the nation was recognized in 1964 when he received the John Companius Holm Award. This award is presented by the National Weather Service to a small number selected from many thousands of volunteer observers throughout the nation. Only data beginning with 1941 are used in this bulletin. Why is that, Mr. Cumming, that they started with 1941?
Take a 30-year period.
I see.
Take a 30-year period. Now, they could take a longer period, but they evidently have arrived at that decision to select the 30-year period in there. So,
oh, I thought maybe there was a change in instruments or some reason. It was just to give it a time period.
Pick that 30-year period, and that gives you a pretty accurate picture of it.
Well, that must have been... Was that a surprise? The award?
Of course, I love to do it in a way, but these things come about when you're engaged in it and so forth, and that in this cooperative work there are people that have kept the weather for 60 years, some of them more than that, and it goes through families. When the parent happens to die that has been doing it, it's taken up by the boys, the children,
mm-hmm,
or the wife, and carried on, and they take great pride in it. They love to do it and wouldn't lose it. They wouldn't lose a recording for the world.
Yeah.
When you happen to leave and go on a trip, you have to make arrangements with somebody else.
Do it.
And drill them in it to what's necessary, so that you won't lose any of it, because a record must be continuous to be of 100% value.
You have someone then who can carry on when you're not here.
I manage to get people that can do that all.
Are there several people in town who will be are interested?
No, I can't say that.
No.
I've had my daughter do it, and I've had the gentleman who lives in my house has done that for me, and others. But it's not difficult at all, but you would have to give them some information relative to it.
I know that your son was pilot for Northeast.
That's my brother.
Oh, it's your brother?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was your boy.
No, that's my brother. He's a pilot for Northeast for a great number of years, and retired now.
Did you keep track of the weather for him every once in a while? Could you tell him if he was going to get in or out of Bolton?
He sent in the first weather report from the local airport.
He did.
When it was open.
He did.
He also was the first station manager over here, later going to Bangor and managed the Bangor station. Then he got on flying by taking a blind instrument course with the Northeast and was with them for a great number of years. And his son, Richard, is flying for them, has for 10, 12 years.
I think I flew with your brother. It would have been 23 years ago or so.
Oh, yes, could be.
I flew because that was when Northeast used to come into Holton.
And he flew the latter part of his time with them. He flew from Boston to Miami in the jets most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he misses it.
Yes,
he misses it. But also, he's in the truck garden business now.
Who's the nearest observer to you? Is there an observer in Mars Hill?
In Bridgewater.
In Bridgewater, huh?
Presque Isle and the Seaport Camp. They go way up to the top end of the state, I think there's some beyond that going southwest again from the top of the state. And they have them in, I guess, Calais and Bangor.
I wondered about in this immediate area.
One in Haynesville.
Yeah, Bridgewater and Haynesville then would be the two closest.
And sometimes it's a little difficult for the government to get a person that will do it over a period of years. And they very often will select a electric light company or some industry where there are several employees and more or less have to keep the record, not for the love of it, but they're in their work. They have to do
to assure the continuity.
That's right.
Yes. So. Do you turn in your daily chart? Does that go out every day, or do you keep them for
a few? I have my precipitation chart goes in weekly, and the monthly report, of course, goes in a month each month.
Yeah.
That has to do with the weather for the previous month. But the precipitation chart goes in weekly, and that shows the daily precipitation in each 24 hours, when it starts, when it stops, and how much.
We were showing me in the little booklet here the various economic areas that weather analysis really is so important. For industry, for instance, and you mentioned yourself about the bird's eye when they came up with when they were having to pee crops.
Yes, there's so many things that it enters into, and over a period of years, why, as you say, it's dollars and cents to somebody.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Of course, people going, not that anybody is going to try to come to Holton, Maine and make a resort area out of it. But gracious, in the real resort places, in some places in Florida, for instance, it must be very important to for someone who is interested in building some sort of a complex like the new Disney World. They must have studied a long time to know what the precipitation and what the heat and the humidity and everything else was going to be. Be sure they had a place that was a place people wanted to come to for itself.
That's right. That is all in the picture. There's no question about it that is all gone through over very carefully.
And these records, of course, are available to everyone.
Oh, yes. They're available to anybody who has to give them sent to the... Let's see. I can't remember the exact title of it here, but I think it's the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration in North Carolina. City just left me at the present time, but it's in North Carolina.
Is that a branch of that in Woods Hole? There's a National Oceanic...
There would be something in that Woods Hole. I know there is.
Yes.
But, just what the title is, I don't know, but there is.
Well, I know it's oceanography, and I think that is the National Oceanographic Station there. Yes.
You know, on one of these particular cases that was in court, when I was on the stand, the question was, could I express an opinion relative to where the wind was, where this thing occurred? And I said, yes, I thought I was capable of doing that. And the judge asked me if I thought I was, and I said, yes. And if I could have my material, my maps and so forth, and he said, that's what you're here for. So I proceeded to give the data, and but the question came up was, where did I get my information and training, or whatever they might call it? Well, I had none other than practical experience and what I could receive from this library here, Cary Library, and also the Maine State Library, and the Weather Bureau itself. And I wrote to Professor Brooks at Harvard Observatory, and very generously sent me material of all kinds in the mathematic part of it, and it was way over my head of no value to me, because it was just beyond my ability.
Yes.
I couldn't use it, but however, they're very good that way, both.
Yes, but of course that was for someone who had already been taking this advanced math and everything.
That's
sure.
Right.
Yes. Well, practical experience certainly is, as far as weather is concerned.
You know what you can do, wouldn't you?
Yes. I would. Theory doesn't do you much good if you haven't had your hand in it.
Well, that's right. Now, I might, for example, I don't know whether this has anything to do with weather or not, but however, I'm not mechanically inclined at all. I get my kick out of operating a radio. I'm a ham radio operator, and I do get my kick out of that. Now, I can sit down and acquire the necessary information or knowledge to pass an examination, but after I pass the examination, I'm done with it. And from there, I go on. Well, I get my kick out of operating and the contact with the other individuals. So there is a difference. Other people would be mechanically inclined, and they'd take